My name is Brent, and I work with the youth and missions here at Normandale. And like Mason said, we're kind of wrapping up the elders preaching through Titus. So I am closing it out. And then I encourage you to come back next week. Mark of the Beast, Mason, that's exciting. I'm here. So yeah, that'll be good times. Okay, this morning, yeah, we're going to finish up Titus. And so I am going to, first of all, I'm going to go ahead and humble myself. I've been holding out on doing this for a while. Got readers, okay? It's okay. It's okay. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. The old people in the group, or no, the wise people in the room, I remember being that young punk just kind of laughing like, oh, that's funny. So I've been reading with readers in private for a while, but I figure now it's time to just come out and just say, yeah, I need them. These are just the Walmart ones, but I'm going to have to, I think, actually get a real doctor to tell me, yeah, my eyes are no good. Okay, but see, it's so much better. I mean, you can try to just have pride and go, nah, I can see, but that is just better. And I look so much smarter, I'm sure. Okay, so, all right, so we're going to finish. I'm going to read the last few verses first. And then go back. This is, it's a letter. And so the closing few verses are kind of just, when you look up, though, you can't see people. So the closing verses just kind of are just words of instruction and that kind of stuff. So I want to go ahead and get those out of the way, but that's horrible to say about the Bible. But I want to go ahead and touch, I want to read them. We'll kind of hit them real briefly, but then we're going to skip back up and do the three verses that are going to take the majority of our time, because I want to end on that feeling and that direction, as opposed to just ending where Paul ends the letter. Okay, so we're going to go with, it's in Titus chapter 3, verse 12. It's going to be pretty straight instructions, a few closing comments, but it's going to get better. All right, so don't think this is the best part of the sermon. It's going to get better. Don't worry. Okay, verse 12. Paul is writing this to Titus, giving him instruction. I said, when I send Artemas or Tychicus to you, make every effort to come to me in Nicopolis, because I've decided to spend the winter there. All right, so he's basically saying Titus is in Crete, and he is kind of overseeing these churches, making sure that things are going all right. And Paul is saying, I'm going to send one of these guys to you, and when they get there, then you come and meet me at this town, Nicopolis, and we're going to spend winter there. So that's just giving some instruction there. Diligently help these two guys, Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos, on their journey so that they will lack nothing. So these two guys were in Crete, and they were doing ministry, helping the church, and they were kind of traveling and doing different things with churches. And so he said, these guys are going to leave, and as they leave, take care of their needs. Like, send them on their way so they don't have to work, they don't have to beg, but take care of their needs. Give them money to provide for their, as they travel to the next place of ministry, as they wrap up their time there. Let our people learn to devote themselves to good works for pressing needs so that they will not be unfruitful. All right, so this we can apply a little bit to ourselves. Like, you may be going, hey, maybe the Bible's telling me I should go winter. I need to go somewhere, on the Mediterranean Sea and spend the winter there. Maybe, but probably not. Or you're like, I don't even know a Zenas. I have no Apollos. That's not really helping me here. But this we can kind of apply. Let our people, like believers, learn to devote themselves to good works for pressing needs so that they will not be fruitful. Paul talks a lot in Titus about basically having right theology means that it's going to affect your life. This is the sixth time where Paul encourages them to have good works, good deeds. And so obviously in Christianity, we're not saved by our works, but if you're saved, you will do good works. And especially in this context was the good works will allow you to be fruitful. So doing good things will allow you the gospel to produce fruit. And so this is kind of a good thing as far as us as believers having a good witness, a good reputation in the community around us. Remember, Crete was not a great environment for just people who love Jesus. And so he said, do good works so that that will help and you not be unfruitful. And then last of all those who are with me send greetings. So just reminding them, you're not alone. There are other believers all over the world. All those who are with me send greeting. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. All right, so he closes out the letter with that. Okay, I am a youth minister, and so I really can't teach the Bible without doing a game, okay? It's impossible. I just don't think it's that's the way Jesus wants it. Okay, so we're not going to clear out the chairs. We're not going to play Hungarian death ball. Oh, that is a great game. We are going to just do some simple would you rathers, okay? This is simple. So just right there in the little group of people around you, 3-4 people, just kind of, you got to answer these out loud. Introduce yourself in case you don't know the people. Part of youth ministry is making things awkward too. So you're like, I'm not into this. Well, sorry. Okay. So I will give you a would you rather. I'm going to give you some would you rather questions. And here's the thing with would you rather, you must answer them. Okay. Some of these are going to be great. And you're like, yes. Oh, it's a tough choice. I love both. You must choose. You got to be decisive. You must choose and go with one. Feel free to debate that with whoever you're talking with. Or if it's a horrible choice, you also must choose. You can't just go like, I don't want to do either one of them. That's the game. Like, it makes you like mentally like, oh, it's tough. Okay, so here we go. I'm going to give you would you rather. I'll give you two choices and you choose which would you rather. Okay, everybody understand? If you're lost, I can't help you, but just hope you understand. All right, here we go. Simple answer to one or two people around there, because that is way better. All right. Would you prefer vacation in the mountains or at the beach? Go. Don't yell to me. I don't care. Tell the people around you. Mountain or beach? Okay, here we go. Quickly. All right. Shh. And this is good to bring up right here before lunchtime. Mexican food or Chinese food? You must choose. And you can not eat the other one ever again in life. You've given it up for life, not just one time. Correct answer, Mexican food. If you went with Chinese food, you're wrong. I'm sorry. Okay, here we go. Okay, this is a much debated one in our student ministry. I've got a magic pill, okay? Stop it. They can't handle it. I got a magic pill. With this pill, you will be able to speak any language, anytime you want, any language. Or you can speak to animals. Which do you choose? A pill that gives you any language, understand and communicate any language, or animals? Which do you choose? If you chose animals, you wasted it. You chose poorly. We did have one student, or actually was a leader, believe that if they can talk to animals, animals will like them. That's not the case. You can talk to people. Not all people like you. Just because you can talk to your dog, you may find out your dog doesn't like you. How sad would that be? Or this guy was thinking if he could talk to a grizzly bear, he would be able to. No, it's just like, I'm going to tear your face off. That's what the bear is going to say. All right, here we go. All right. Shh. Unlimited travel for the rest of your life paid for, or all your meals paid for, which do you choose? Unlimited travel or all your meals paid for the rest of your life? Any restaurant. Okay, here we go. This is a negative one, but sometimes you've got to make choices between two bad situations. Always, you got to think, could I survive this? I'm not going to get too weird. We have a lot of weird ones of the youth. This isn't too weird. Could I survive this? And if I survive this, you know, you're going to have some street cred. So that'd be cool. Like, you could tell the story. If you choose and you die, then once again, then your kids can maybe say, yeah, that's the way my dad died. He chose that and it went badly. But anyway, it doesn't matter. If you have no kids, your friends would tell the story. Okay. All right. Which do you think you could survive? And if you survive, what'd be a cool story? You are going to be attacked by an alligator or a grizzly bear. Which do you choose? Which do you think you could survive? You're going to be attacked, okay? Grizzly bear, alligator. You must choose. I'm not sure the correct answer on that one. The alligator's got the death roll. Grizzly bear, one of them you're supposed to play like you're dead. I don't know about that. Okay, here we go. Next one. I'm going to give you a couple more. All right. Yeah, okay, all right. I'll just go into, all right. You're going to jail. Classic, been for years. You're going to jail. You're innocent, okay? You're innocent, but you're still going to jail. 1 year by yourself or 3 years and take your best friend. Which do you choose? Which do you choose? 1 year by yourself or you're taking your best friend to jail for 3 years? I always just like to see this. Who's taking their best friend to jail? Okay, most of you are not. The youth usually do that. They sell out on their friends. Okay, just look around at your friends. Okay, two more. Okay, in front of 5,000 people, would you rather give a three-minute speech or sing a three-minute song? Speech or song in front of 5,000 people? Okay, last one. Would you rather be at church or at home? That's a trick question. Yeah, okay. Okay. I mean, I guess, unless you're at home, glad you're with us at home, and we're glad you're there if you couldn't be here. You're glad you're, whatever, okay. Not whatever. Okay, so here we go. Don't answer these. Don't answer these, okay? This is now going into the message, but do not answer these out loud. This could go horribly wrong. Understand? Do not answer these questions out loud to the people around you. Democrat or Republican? You just thought the Mark of the Beast one's going to be weird. All right, masks or no masks? We'll get a little easier. Oh, don't answer these out loud, people. No, we can't handle this. We've proven this. We can't handle this. All right. Vaccine, no vaccine. Okay, public school, homeschool, private school, what would Jesus do? Don't answer it out loud, people. Stop it. Hymns or choruses, easy one. Nothing. Okay, yeah, Nick started this. I'm going to reference this a couple of times. Gun laws, come and take it. More gun laws, less gun laws. No answers. Stop talking. Okay. Cool, huh? All right. We were having fun there. I'd rather get attacked by a grizzly bear. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Verse 9. Titus 3, verse 9. Titus 3, verse 9. But avoid foolish debates. This is the verse we're going to spend a lot of time on this morning. Nick kind of talked about it a couple weeks ago because Titus, talked about avoiding fights and being kind, showing gentleness to all people. And we're like, yeah, not so much. I think Nick pointed out a lot and hopefully if you didn't hear that, but just you'll hear again today. I think the one of the biggest problems that we have is our rights. We love our rights and our opinions and ourselves more than we love God and the kingdom. We don't really realize that all the time, but as I throw out some of these things, you're gonna see this. Okay, so what we're gonna talk about a lot today is Paul wants unity in the church. Verse 9. But avoid foolish debates, genealogies, quarrels, and disputes about the law, because they are unprofitable and they are worthless. All right. Can we get an amen? Okay, yeah. Well, okay. And then, okay. So, okay. Avoid foolish debates. So then I begin to ask myself, what is a foolish debate? One that I cannot win? That would be a foolish debate, you know. What is a foolish debate? And by the way, so I'm going to split these up into just like stuff that we debate and then stuff that's even theologically, okay? Can there be foolish theological debates? Yes. Go to seminary. Oh, what? Okay. No, I'm serious. I've been to seminary, so I can make fun of it, and I will make fun of it a little bit. Sometimes it's like, whoa, what are we doing here, people? We're debating about this. All right, but it's, so in verse 9 here, these debates are actually involving like theological things, genealogies. And by the way, it's read several commentaries. It's not even real clear what the debates are. You know why? Because these debates aren't that important. All right, there's like, we're not, Paul's not trying to correct what the debates were about. He's just saying we need to avoid foolish debates. And what these right here are classified as foolish debates. There are some things that need to be debated. All right, there's stuff like church discipline and right doctrine. This is the hard thing is like you need to debate core issues, core theological issues. Then here's where it's like, okay, so what's a core issue? That's a good question. It does get a little bit. Like I say, so some of us, we're going to have more things in our core issue bucket. I don't know what you do that. You know, you have a big circle, and these are core issues, and these must be debated. And so the more things you put in there, like that's a hill I'm willing to die on. Like, I must fight about that one. So the more things you have in there, these are core issues. These are central to the gospel. And even with this passage and another passage I'm going to show you, okay, this is going to sound horrible. So you don't need to be liberal in your theology, but I just think some of us want to fight about a bunch of stuff, which in a lot of these have nothing to do with theology. We just want to fight. But just pointing out in this verse 9, these are actually debates about theology. Genealogies, there's debate on discussion about what that was, quarrels, disputes about the law. So that's clearly disputes about the, you know, the Old Testament and the Judaizers and Jewish things that they were trying to carry over, like even after Jesus, we need to still do this. So these were debates about church things. These weren't debates about secular things, about like, should we pay taxes or should we wear masks or should we be vaccinated or not, or should the country, you know, make us pledge allegiance to the emperor? We kind of don't like that. You know, it's like, so these debates, even Paul was saying, you need to back off on some of the theological debates you're having because they're foolish. All right, so I just wanted to have fun today. So I came up with things that people, I even Googled this at one point. What are things that people debate, okay? So I'm going to throw out some. Some are like, oh, that's funny. That's just whatever. And then some like, really? Like, and that's the deal. Like, some of these are like, it's kind of funny. Like, oh, pineapple on pizza. That's funny. And then some of them, when I mention them, like gun control, you're like, come and take it right now. I will fight you. All right. And so that's what Paul is trying to say. Like, and Nick was kind of reminding us, like, how much of this is kingdom based and how much of this is like just you. And even with some of these things I'm going to throw out, your theology should dictate some of your views on these things. You know what I'm saying? That's what this whole book is about. Your theology will impact the way you live. But some of these may not be quite as black and white as you may think. Because in this room, we're going to have people who fall on both sides of whatever camp it is. And so here's the thing. What unites us is not our same stance on gun control. What unites us as a church is that we are all sinners and we know that we need Jesus as our Savior. And that's what unites us. So we can be different on our stances on gun control. Even if you think your stance on gun control is what Jesus would have, I'm telling you, there's people on both sides of the room on that one, in here. And both of you may think, this is what Jesus would do. Just don't debate that one. Don't fight on that one. Because what is a meaningless argument is an argument that causes division in the church or that distracts you from your main purpose of, like, being about the gospel. So even some of these, I'm going to talk about, like, scripturally, there is a debate, like, that was going on in the New Testament church that's referenced twice, and it seems pretty theological, but Paul both times says you need to stop fighting about it, and you need to concern yourself with the unity of the church above your personal conviction on this issue. All right, so let's just throw out some stuff that we like to debate. And like I say, a lot of these are going to be, I think all these at the beginning I have are not what we would consider theological, meaning that it's not really debating about God, but God obviously affects your view on every one of these. You know, if you're a Christian, you think that obviously God, you know, my because I'm a Christian, God impacts my view on, you know, all these things. All right, so we're going to go through some of them, and I just want to encourage you to remember the verse we're looking at. Avoid foolish debates. They are unprofitable and worthless. Before I get into these two, it doesn't mean we can't have discussions, all right? Because if there is no discussion, you are not a part of a body of Christ. You're part of a cult, you know what I'm saying? And I did think about that a little bit, like, being a cult leader seems like a pretty cool thing. Until Judgment Day, I mean, that's going to go bad. But, I mean, just to say, like, I say it and you follow, cool, right? Just kind of kidding, all right? Okay, but so we're not a part of a cult. We don't all, like, it doesn't mean you can't have discussions in your life groups and with people about, like, about gun control, about immigration, about healthcare, about theology. Like, and you may not, like, right now I'm walking through with our youth guys on Revelation, all right? And so I am not going to, here's the way it plays out. Like, let's have a discussion. Let's try to figure this out. It's good to have discussion. So you're going to have discussion about it. If it becomes incredibly divisive, so you just have to check yourself on this. There's several things I'm like, I don't really know how practically to walk forward in this. This is some of, like, you and the Holy Spirit. If you begin to, like, if it becomes divisive to you and another person, whatever the issue, it may be a meaningless debate. You know what I'm saying? I don't like them because of their stance on who they voted for, gun control. I don't like them. They're a part of this church. They are a sinner like you that needed Jesus to be their Savior. You should be united on that and put differences aside on some of the other things. If you can't do that, then that would be a meaningless debate because you're letting this other thing become more important than Jesus. That's a big deal. And I think we all need to check ourselves on that one because I don't know if you know, but our world's all about debates these days. So it's divisive. And then, like I say, if it just becomes, even if that, like, because I can be tempted to do this too, like, this becomes my thing. Like, I'm super passionate about immigration and what Jesus would think about immigration and borders and stuff like that. If that becomes your passion, it's kind of what Nick was talking about on the gun control. If that becomes a bigger passion of yours than, honestly, a concern for the lost or you know, a concern for following Jesus, a concern for unity in the church, you may need to check yourself on that. All right, so these are things that we like to debate. We don't like debate. They are debates. Avoid foolish debates. They are unprofitable and worthless. All right, masks, vaccine. All right, those are a little like, oh, that's you know, back off. I think biblically, this is what Jesus would do. Because that's what we all try to figure, what Jesus, college football, that's starting up. All right, we like to debate that. Essential oils. I feel like this one's kind of gotten pushed to the side right now with other debates. I feel like I want to bring that one back. Anyone? I don't know. Essential oils. Democrat, Republican, that one's kind of put essential oils down. This has become a big one. I don't know. Okay, schools. And this is a good one as far as with the church. You understand this. Like, some of you are really, really convicted that, and I've got my own convictions too. And sometimes, I don't know, sometimes your convictions can change. Maybe. And once again, this is where it's my convictions. I think Jesus would do this. And it's different than, like, solid theology. The Bible clearly says salvation is found only through Jesus Christ. So if somebody in the church goes, I don't really know about that. I think there's other ways to do this. Like, no, then the church is going to hold strong to that. And we're going to correct you. And if you continue to teach that, then church discipline. All right. So, you know, like, you hold to things that are clear in Scripture. But then there's stuff like school. Some people in the room will feel a strong conviction that God would have us homeschool our kids. And in the same room, people, I think God would have us send our kids to private school. That's what God has led us to do. And others, I feel like God has led us, wants us to put our kids in public school. Cool. You can all have those personal convictions and feel like God has led you to that. That's great. But unity is that it doesn't matter. We're not going to fight. We can talk and say, well, this is, I think, the pros. This is the cons of all this. You can, but unity is, you know what? Like, that's all. We're brothers in Christ, and that's what you're doing with your family. This is what we're doing with our family. But we're real united on what we believe the purpose of Jesus is and being a light in this community. So we can be in the same life group together. They can be in the same youth group together, even if we're different on some of these things. That would be probably a good example of, like, we can disagree, but it's not a foolish debate. We're just talking through things, discussing, and that's good times. But yeah, so some of you, but if you are like, no, Jesus would be in the public schools to be a light to the world. And if you don't do that, then you're wrong, and I will fight you on that. I think you've moved a side issue into the core issue, and that's not really good. That becomes a foolish debate. Okay, gun control, we mentioned that. Immigration, we mentioned that. Harry Potter, all right. Should, and this is what's fun about raising your kids in a church, because you'll find this. I've been a youth minister for a long time. I'm so old, I have to wear readers now. Okay, so you will see people in the church who you love and respect make horrible parenting decisions. They're not like you. And what if the lightsies are clear on what Jesus, how Jesus would parent and when Jesus would give their kid a cell phone. Yet the Culvers, they're heretics. They have taken, are they in the room? Oh, that's awkward. But the Culvers, they have taken a different stance. They have prayed about it, and they have strayed from the straight and narrow. And they differ with us on when a child could get a cell phone. Or should they read Harry Potter? If you don't know what Harry Potter is, that's cool. I didn't talk about it. All right, so I'm just saying, it's witchcraft. And awesome. Okay, so I don't know. Don't read, watch the movies. Why read when they've got the movies? No, I don't, not really, kids. Whatever, you submit to your parents' authority. So the same deal, like you can have convictions and we could debate. We could blog and fight each other over that. And that is so beneficial to us and the world outside watching. Okay, that's really kind of what Paul is saying, is like, what's not beneficial is when Christians are fighting about stuff that doesn't matter, even though it kind of matters. I'm not saying where you put your kid in school and your view on immigration and your view on Harry Potter, I'm not saying it doesn't matter, but if you fight about that and lose sight of other stuff, and then as the outside world watches you, it's really bad. I mean, you've heard a lot of people talk about, you know, like, oh, I don't like organized religion, I'm so sick of the church, all that kind of stuff. Some of it comes out of that kind of stuff. Just seeing, I grew up in Waco, all right? I went to Baylor, and I was there in Waco as Baylor pulled away from the Texas Baptist Convention, and so it's just always in the news. And, like, I grew up Baptist and went to Baylor, so I'm not, like, anti-Baptist, but I'm just like, man, this is draining. Just seeing Christians fight and debate about stuff really is not great as the outside world watches. And so just know that. We haven't gotten to social media yet, but it's coming. Because if you think that that Christians fighting on social media, trust me, as a youth minister that knows that 20-somethings are watching, who have kind of been disillusioned with the church or whatever, and they're watching a couple of Christians, like, just those long debates over, like, whatever the issue, it's not super beneficial. I'm just telling you, it's not super beneficial. I'll just tell you, I don't know how to navigate this, because you can debate me on this. You can fight me. You can have a meaningless quarrel with me after this. I think Jesus would be on social media. I think. Fight me. But where I've, on my social media, I've just pulled back. I feel like all of it is meaningless fighting. I don't know where you are. I don't know where, if you've, like, I'm gonna share the light. I'm gonna be the truth. And I'm gonna tell people how they should. And I just feel like, to me, it just doesn't seem to be. I don't know who's here today that was like, you were fighting with somebody on social media, and that's what got you here today. Like, you're here because you were fighting on social media, and then you thought, you know what? They turned the corner, and that really helped me when they sent me that really long post, all those, like, extra links. Like, that's when I was like, you know what? I think I want to go to that church now. So I don't know. But I'll say this. I think me bailing's probably not the right answer either. You know what I'm saying? I think Jesus probably would be involved in social media. I've just kind of bailed. I know there are, you know, social media influencer. That's a thing. I thought I was one for a while, but I guess I'm not. So I believe that's what, you know, that's what people who are Christians who are trying to do that. Like, I'm gonna use everything for the glory of God. I'm gonna be a social media influencer. It's just, and that's cool. It's just, at times, be careful about avoiding foolish debates and getting in quarrels, even about theological stuff online, that just doesn't seem terribly fruitful. Like I say, I don't have the great answer for that. I've kind of bailed just because I don't have time for that. It just drains me and makes me sad. And yeah. Okay. So Okay, so those are some, you know, Harry Potter, healthcare, Enneagrams. I want to bring that one back. If you don't know what Enneagrams are, you're probably best. I will tell you this: I did not take the Enneagram test. I'm not going to be put in a box. They're not going to tell me what I am. And if you don't know what Enneagrams are, it's okay. It's just one less fight to have. They're going to try to put you in a box. So you're a seven. You can't be a something and then a wing that's too far away from it. That's illegal, evidently. Evidently, Jesus wouldn't be a 7-3. You got to either be a 7-8 or a 7-6. That's the way the Enneagram gods want it. Enneagrams are, but there's churches that do Enneagram Bible studies, and that's cool. That'll be our next one after the Mark of the Beast. Actually, if Enneagram Bible studies happen, no, I'm not going to say that. That's bad. And how to fold towels. You know, like, how's the correct way to fold a towel? You could debate on that. Okay, so that's great. Well, many of us are like, okay, yeah, we understand. We're not going to really debate on some of these things. But like I say, it does get tricky on these some of these other issues where you do feel like, you know, how does your Christian faith tie in with immigration? How does your Christian faith tie in with, like, climate change? How does your Christian faith tie in with, like, healthcare and those kind of things? It should impact it, and you should have discussions and dialogue and have opinions, but just be careful about having meaningless debates, meaning it takes all your time. That is a bigger passion of yours than anything, you know, dealing with the kingdom, as far as especially, because what I'm looking at is these other things are about the kingdom that Paul says avoid it. Chill out on the disputes about the law. We're talking about biblical disputes about the law. Chill out about genealogies, which once again, probably had something to do with biblical genealogies. Just don't worry about those. What Paul would correct people on is when you're trying to add, what he did earlier in Titus, when you're trying to add anything, like, the cross isn't enough for salvation. It takes the cross plus circumcision, the cross plus Old Testament works. Like, if you're watering down salvation, watering down the cross, then Paul would you know, fight you on that. Some of this other stuff we need to chill out on. All right, I'll give you a couple of, because those are debates that aren't quite as theological. So now let's talk about a couple of theological debates that we could have, because those are fun. Just to show you that some of these may be meaningless. I was thinking about our church. Honestly, one I joked about earlier, like hymns or chorus. I just want to give Normandale a shout out. Like, good job, Normandale, because you hear awful things. I've been at Normandale like 25 years, okay, hence the glasses. And so you hear different people, different pastors, ministers talk about their church and what they're fighting over, and, like, I don't even know if this story's true, but the church had a, you know, debate and business meeting what color the carpet should be. So then it was one half this color, one half this color. I think that's probably made up, you know, in the 80s. You couldn't fact check stuff. But we have that going on here because we had a big fight. And so that's how we got our floor like that. Not really. But we don't have that. And even, like, the hymns chorus things. I'll be honest. Like all of us have a style of music that we prefer or we like or we, you know, but there's not a big division over that kind of stuff because, once again, we're united on Christ. There's, honestly, songs that we sing that I don't like. There's songs that we sing that Nick doesn't like. We all have preferences, and but the bigger picture is we're going to worship Jesus, and we just did this whole, the whole remodel thing. That was fun. Remember that? And so, once again, we just walked through that. And that could have been, like, you know, bad as far as, like, people fighting over, we changed some paint colors and all that kind of stuff. Nobody cares. Which, meaning, I'm just saying to Normandale, good job on honestly not getting hung up on a lot of the, like, ridiculous things that churches can fight about. There's a lot of a spirit of unity and that kind of stuff. Even, honestly, we're not all on the same page. Some of you like the carpet. Some of you don't like the carpet. Some of you like the carpet square. Some of you think, that's the worst idea ever. Some of you, but it doesn't matter. Nobody's like, I'm not going to Normandale anymore. This is stupid carpet. Like, okay, there's bigger. And so I just say, good job on not getting tied up in useless stuff. Okay, a couple of things that you could debate on. And some would call core issues, and some would say none. And that's what, okay, so end times. Mason's going to clear this up next week. But that would be one where, like, what is, especially as we're walking through Revelation, there's a lot of stuff in the end times I don't really understand, don't really totally know. Probably sounds horrible to say that. I've been to seminary, I'm a minister, but I think just being honest, like, I don't have all that locked down. And by the way, as I was thinking this, that doesn't mean, too, you get to pick and, like, oh, well, there is no rapture, there is a rapture, millennial reign thing, the there's three different views on the way it's going to play out. It's not like you get to pick. There's going to be one way it plays out, but you may not have it all figured out based on what Revelation has told us. Some of these things, if they've been debated throughout centuries, you may be the first person to figure it all out, and that's cool. But you also maybe just come humbly to some of the stuff, and maybe don't just get like, well, I'll fight you on end time stuff. And like I say, for us at Normandale, that's not a core issue. There would be some churches, there would be some, you know, places that would say you must believe this about the millennial, the thousand year reign or all that kind of stuff. We're just not smart enough to have it all figured out. At least I'm not. Okay. All right, Calvinism and Arminianism. All right, if you don't know what that means, that's cool as well. But basically kind of just debating, because Scripture, debating on a little bit on like free will and man's role and sovereignty of God and how that meshes together. And there's Scripture that no matter what camp you're in or you lean towards, there's Scripture that will like really drive you nuts because you're like, I almost have it all locked down, and then these verses really are troubling to me. And so I would just say, yeah, that may not be an area that you just need to fight on. I was having this discussion. We had somebody at our church that was making an issue. Like, it was going to be a core value, and they were doing teaching. And we just said, nope, not going to be a core issue. Like, you can have that personal conviction. That's awesome. But you're not going to teach that everybody must believe this. As Normandale, we don't really believe that you've got to have that. We believe that in our group, you can have Calvinists and Arminians and be unified by Christ. One of our college students was really struggling with this because they were being told they need to lock this down. And if they were a thinker, they would lock this down. And so they were really struggling with this. And I was like, you're going on a mission trip. And on this mission trip, you got people who are on both sides of that fence. So it was like, it doesn't matter. Like, you're going to share the gospel because all of you, at Normandale, nobody believes that man is going to save themselves. Like, all of us believe that, I mean, I'm saying if you're saved here, that man cannot save themselves, that it's, you know, God is the only thing, is the only one who can save. So you're going on this mission trip, and it's like you're all going to share the gospel. You know, both sides of the fence are going to share the gospel. Maybe out of different thoughts, process behind it, but it doesn't really matter. Like, as long as the gospel is being shared, you can be united on that and don't worry about some other stuff. Okay, now I'm going to go to a biblical something that was going on biblically in the first century. Okay, so I'm going to throw this out here, and you tell me where you haven't figured out where you fall in all these debates. How about this one? Meat sacrifice to idols. Okay, so we've got a bull that has been sacrificed to Satan. Okay, pretty cool, right? Now the meat is cooked. It's barbecued. It is the meat is cooked. This bull has been sacrificed to Satan in a ritual. Who believes that? I don't really raise your hand. I don't want to start a fight. But who believes, like, yeah, I could go for some brisket right now? Or who believes, I'm a Christian, like, I follow Jesus, and that's a Satan hamburger? I don't think so. You just see that, like, that's not a real clear one. You know what I'm saying? You could think biblically, okay, what would Jesus do? Like, Jesus is against Satan. And so, you know, you're sitting there, your conviction. And so the first century church was having this debate. There was meat sacrificed to idols. I'm going to read this passage, or this verse when Paul talks about it. Paul talked this, because this seemed like that'd be a pretty core thing. You know what I'm saying? It's not like a little side thing on, should they, oh, maybe it is. Maybe it's kind of like the Harry Potter thing. But it says, except anyone who is weak in the faith, Romans 14:1. But do not argue about disputed matters. Paul calls that and many other things in 14 a disputed matter on where you fall on. Basically, you have the freedom. If you feel comfortable about eating this meat that's been sacrificed to idols, then you have the freedom to do that. If you feel convicted, like, I don't think that's right, then stay with that conviction and don't eat the meat. And then it talked about don't be a stumbling block. So then if you mix company and they feel the freedom and this group doesn't, then you don't want to be a stumbling block to those. But that was what the stumbling block issue was, is can we eat meat sacrificed to idols? And Paul, that seems pretty theological. Like, that's a pretty big deal. Like, and Paul said that's an area that can be that can be disputed. You, as believers, as followers of Christ, you could fall on both areas of that. And what he said here is, except anyone who is weak in the faith, don't argue about disputed matters. Goes on in verse 7, because it's bigger than you, okay? Because you may have, like, super, you know, like, no. Jesus would do that. Paul said, no. Like, you need to, like, you may want to fight over this issue that seems super clear to you. And Paul's saying, no, it's bigger than you. For none of us live for himself, and no one dies for himself. We live, if we live, we live for the Lord. And he's just kind of saying, it's bigger than you. You know, don't just think of yourself. You said each one's going to be accountable to the Lord. But you can have different conviction on this, and don't think that your way is always right on that. All right, going back to Titus. Goes on in verse 10, says, reject a divisive person after first and second warning. Reject a divisive person. I that's kind of where I am on, like, the social media stuff, or even in person. Some of you are like, I don't do social media for that reason, or I just can't figure out a computer. That's cool too. But same deal, just at times, this leads into church discipline, but I just a practical thing of, like, if somebody's divisive, you're just constantly arguing with them, just understand that just probably best for you to just not, you know, it's one or two conversations, and then you're just kind of done. I'll have people that are in this church, united, love them, and love hanging out with them. And then there's certain times they bring up a certain topic, like, yeah, I'm not going to talk about that. You know what I'm saying? Not going to talk about that again, because last time it took an hour and we went nowhere. So we're united. We love Jesus, but I don't have time for the circle debate about that anymore, because it's a real side issue. So just same deal. I just encourage you just to you know, in a practical way, just distance yourself from people if you're constantly having quarrels. It's unprofitable and worthless if you're having just constant debates that are going nowhere. And you would know, like, if you're either getting really mad at each other, or you're just like, he's not listening, she's not listening, we're not listening. But if it's productive and you're like, you enjoy, like, man, I enjoy talking about crazy stuff with this person, and we have all kind of debates, but it's like, fun, then keep doing it. But you kind of know, like, is this beneficial or not? Okay, but, so first of all, it would be like, you may just need to distance yourself, reject a divisive person. Like, just practically, the social media, I just have unfollowed people, like, not because I hate them, I just don't want to get mad at them. Like, I love them, and I know they're a follower of Christ, so I love them, but if I see their posts, it makes me mad at them, and so I just don't want to do that. And so I just unfollow. I just want to distance myself, because that would be better than causing division. And same, like, yeah, just not having a discussion. But then also, this leads into even church discipline, where if they are really wrong on an issue, like what was talked about earlier in chapter 1, then you would confront them once, twice, and then if they don't stop that, then one is, it's not your job to continue to argue with them. Like I say, if it's church discipline, then you put them out of the church, all right? That's a real thing. Especially, you won't want them in leadership, you don't want them teaching. That was usually what they're definitely addressing, is teaching things that were not, you know, lined up. But also, this right here is divisive person. They may not be like a teacher, but if they're constantly being divisive, you need to talk with them about, like, no, we're not going to be doing that. And if they don't stop, then, you know, Paul's like, the unity of the church is more important than that person, whatever their issue is. Okay, so divisive person, you set them out. And then verse 11, it goes along with the other type of church discipline stuff. For you know that such a person has gone astray and is sinning, and he is self-condemned. And you do church discipline, hoping they'll return, but if they don't, that's kind of what I was getting to, is when Paul just didn't want you to waste time and energy trying to change them, when it's to the point where, like, this probably, we just need to move on. You've talked with them about it. You've had those discussions. There's no need to fight anymore. You need to just, like, move on. Don't sit there and try to win this debate or change their heart. Okay. We're going to wrap up, and just like I say, with this overall just seeing that Paul's goal for the church is unity above us having needless debates and needless arguments that are easy for all of us to have, because we all of us, none of us have perfect theology, none of us have perfect temperament, and we all get worked up over certain things. And so I just want us to just pray that we would be unified, and that we'd be focused on kingdom stuff and less about our personal soapbox type issues that are honestly probably a lot of times very peripheral. All right, let's pray. We'll wrap up. Dear Lord, we come before you, and just thank you so much for your word that guides us, that corrects us, that reminds us of who you are and how we need to live. I pray that you'd help us just to follow you. Help us to submit ourselves to you, to authority in our lives. And I pray that we would desire your name to be lifted up over, our name being lifted up or us winning certain debates. I pray that you would help us to desire unity in the church as opposed to us just kind of, once again, getting distracted over stuff that may be important, but it's not crucial. So help us to be wise in that. Help us to, so that our we can love each other well, and we can reach out and share Christ with those outside the church well. It's in your name we pray. Amen. As we sing and have a time of response, I just want to remind you, earlier in Titus, Paul talks about just basically sharing the gospel. It's really cool because this is also why Paul didn't want us to argue. In verse 3, he talks about, you were this. You were argumentative. You were a fighter. But then Christ showed his mercy on us. And so now that you're changed, to do good works. So that's the good news, is that you were once this. You were once, hateful. You were once all these bad things. But Jesus came. This one verse is super cool. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us. So when Jesus came, he offered us salvation because of his kindness, not anything that we've done. And that's the gospel. So you've got two groups of people in here, some who've never come to that point, and you're like, I understand that I'm kind of far off. The good news is Jesus came and died so you could have a relationship with him. You could be forgiven of your sins. And if you've never done that, we'd love to talk with you about that. And I'll be down here. Mason will be over here if you want to talk with somebody more about what does it look like to give your life to Christ, to be forgiven of your sin and have peace with God. And then the rest of us that have done that, it goes on to encourage, because we've been saved, therefore we should live. We should live good lives worthy of that calling. So your time of response, just sing and think about that. Do you need to make yourself right with God by asking him to forgive you your sin? And if you've already done that, then let's live like that.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing.